Hi, everyone. Hoping that you had a safe and happy holiday season. This January, we are launching into a new series here on Zen Founder. For the next 5 to 6 weeks, you're going to hear a series of interviews that Rob and I did with our founder friends about how they set and follow through with goals. So as you may know, there are lots of different strategies and lots of ways of thinking about how to set goals. Many people don't set goals at all. They don't find it helpful. Some people swear by it, by specific actionable goals with timelines. One of the interesting pieces of research that came across my desk recently was from Gabrielle Attijainen. She is a professor of psychology at NYU and was interviewed on the Inquiring Minds podcast. And she summarized her research talking about how ineffective daydreams are. The more that people positively fantasize about what they would like to accomplish or achieve, the less likely they are to actually be able to follow through on their fantasies. In taking a really realistic look at what is involved in chasing a goal, in looking at what obstacles might come up and what the challenges are, and then planning accordingly, that we seem to find people who are most successful in accomplishing their goals. In essence, goal setting is about preparing for a challenge. It's choosing the kinds of challenges, the kinds of hard things that you want to take on, and organizing your life so that you're optimally poised to succeed in the challenges that are inherent in the goals that you set. So we are excited to talk with some of our founder friends about how they approach this process and hear what new ideas may bubble to the surface, as well as what tried and true strategies have been effective for those in our community who have really seemed to nail this productivity thing. As always, if you like what you hear, you can be part of our support team at supportzenfounder.com. And we always welcome your comments, questions, and feedback. If you have a specific question about how to set and follow through with goals, feel free to get in touch with us by email, or you can tweet at ZenFounder. As always, thanks for listening.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
Overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode. So today I'm talking with Tracy Osborne. She's the creator and founder of Wedding Lovely, which is a website that walks couples through the process of wedding planning, connects them with local and small business wedding vendors. She's also the author of Hello Web App, which is a successful book that teaches web app development using Python and Django, and it's aimed at designers and non-programmers. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. And Tracy also does a lot of public speaking, and you're speaking at MicroConf Vegas in 2016.
I am. It's very exciting.
Cool. So glad you came on the show today. I want to ask you some questions about goals. We're doing this series on founder goal setting. And so I want to dig into whether or not you regularly set goals, how you set them, and kind of go through that whole process over the next few minutes.
Sure. With working with Wedding Lovely, I'm the only one. It's a startup, but I'm the designer and developer, founder, and I do everything. So I am charged entirely of goals for the company, where I want to go, which is, it fills my brain up. If I don't write things down, that's kind of the biggest thing that I do with my goals, is I have to write everything down, because if I don't, I get completely overwhelmed by all the different ideas that pop into my brain at all moments for where to take Wedding Lovely, because I don't have anyone else who's out there I can like bounce things off of. It's just this constant idea generating process that eventually has to turn into basically the ideas that I think are good. I have to turn them into a goal, and then I have to like follow through with those goals, and it gets kind of scary and overwhelming.
Right. No, that makes sense. And so it sounds like you set a lot of small goals that might be project-based, like, hey, the goal is to get this feature out or to get this marketing approach done. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, there's also goals where, like, what do I want to do with marketing? What do I have to do with sales? When I read books about how other people are working on their startups and I get a new idea where they've taken their startup, and I'm like, oh, that's something I could totally do with Wedding Lovely. So when I hear people's successful stories about running sales, that might turn into the next thing I'm going to work on just because I'm so inspired. Because, I mean, again, I don't have any partners, I don't have any employees, which is kind of a bad thing, but also kind of a good thing because then I can kind of dictate where I want to go with the company, which is, I've been working on it for, it's going to be 6 years as of this month, which is insane. So I get burnt out a lot. And on working on one thing, like I might work on design for a really long time and then all of a sudden I get really tired of it and I'd work on development. So constantly figuring out new ideas where to work on and new places I want to take the company, it allows me to switch between those things as needed, which is kind of chaotic, but it keeps me interested in the company, keeps me interested in working on it, especially working on as a solo founder for so long.
Sure. And in addition to those like project-based, or it sounds like you have things that are going on constantly, like you might have a goal that's due to be achieved next month and one the month after, and it's kind of smaller efforts. Do you set broader goals, like an annual goal or a couple annual goals for 2016 that may be higher level? Like I want to 2X or 3X revenue, mm-hmm. or I want to have this major feature out, or I want to write this book in 2016, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll get into books in a second, but for Wedding Lovely, actually just in general, I have a document I save as a bookmark in Chrome, and it's called Daily Goals. And there's often times when I wake up in the morning, I'm not quite sure where to go. So I have this document so I can open it up. And in the document I have at the very top, I have big goals. I just opened it right now. And the two big goals I have up at the top are very general. One of them is recognized as one of the top people in tech industry, which might sound really self-important, but it's kind of like, you know, big goals. It might be, makes me sound a little full of myself, but really I would love to be in the tech industry. It'd be really great to be recognized. And I put that as a goal of where I go with both my book and my startup.
Sure. I don't feel like that. I mean, this is a private document. I have stuff written in private documents or that is much more self-centered than that.
And yeah, I'm going to be a little open here about where.
Yeah, totally. I mean, people have to understand. I'm sure we all have thoughts or even goals along those lines.
Yeah. And then I have another goal is just, you know, enough money coming in through my ventures to live freely. Because I love to travel and I love to, like you said, speak at conferences. I love backpacking and having enough financial security that at any moment, if I get burnt out, I can take a break. I just came back actually from a 3-week trip in Costa Rica where I learned how to surf. That was part of my burnt out. I kind of decided to take time off of both of my ventures to just surf for a bit. So I'm actually getting to that goal pretty quickly. But those are like my big there's not like a big milestone for these. They're just going to be like feelings, like a feeling comfortable at where I am in my career. But right. Then in this document, I have another heading for medium goals, which are kind of like long-term in the next year, things I want to happen. And then I have small goals, which are things that need to happen, say in the next month, things I need to work on. So I can wake up in the morning and I can look at my list, re-inspire myself with the big goals of where I'm going. And then I can look at the things that are more timely, more like what I'm working on at the moment.
I really like that approach. It's something I haven't done. I tend to set annual goals and I have them written down. I look at them. But what I like about what you've done is you have almost this life. These are like life goals or maybe next 5-year, 10-year type goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everything feeds from that. And so, like you said, getting that reminder of why you're doing all this, I think could be really helpful.
Yeah. Because I do wake up a lot. I mean, it's scary how often this happens, but I wake up a lot in the morning, like, I don't know what to do. And mm-hmm. I am tempted to just open up Reddit and just, you know, turn my brain off and look at pictures all day. And reaffirming what I am actually working towards in my life will help me get back on track and get me to motivate to actually open up some scary, like working on sales is really scary to me because I have to do, it's very much out of my comfort zone. But it reminds me that that's one of the things I need to do to make Wedding Lovely a success.
And talk to me about, especially the very high level, and then you had the medium goals, which you said might be like a year out. Do you have a process for setting those? Like, how did you come up with those goals? Do you go on a retreat or do they just come to you?
They do just come to me. It's funny you mentioned retreats because I'm really lucky to have a cabin in the mountains and I have no internet there. There's no TV. There's no nothing. And so my husband and I will head out there. And one of the ways that I kind of set my direction is I can just go onto the porch and look over the trees. And I have a notebook and I always write it down by hand and kind of just write down everything that's bothering me. And then everything that I feel like I need to do and kind of refine my goals in that way. So that's kind of the way I kind of step out of being on the computer and kind of reestablish where I want to go. And those two directions have really solidified into my startup, Wedding Lovely, but also the books I'm working on. And then those medium goals are essentially where I want those two ventures to go.
Right. And so how often, or do you have a recurring time frame where, you know, every 6 months or every year you reevaluate them and you choose new goals? Or is it as you achieve them, you add another one to the list?
I think it has to do with feelings. I might start feeling like where I'm going is not where I want to be, I guess. And that will establish when I need to reevaluate what I'm doing. You know, if I start feeling like I'm waking up in the morning and hating what I do, then that's going to have to, you know, really dictate that I need to change where I'm going. And again, this has to do with the fact that I'm running all these ventures by myself. And so I don't have anyone else who's there to support me. So sometimes, I mean, that means I can change direction at any moment. So with Wedding Lovely, I've changed directions many times. I've went through the fundraising process, and then that kind of turned into this awful thing that I wasn't really good at, and it wasn't really taking Wedding Lovely anywhere. So I moved into bootstrapping. And so that's where Wedding Lovely was going, fundamentally changed when I switched between fundraising and I went to bootstrapping. And that had a lot to do with just like this overwhelming feeling that fundraising and going into a big funded company wasn't the right place for Wedding Lovely nor myself.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. And so for you, then, the reevaluation of your goals happens when the feeling shifts and when you notice in yourself that you aren't motivated or that you're feeling unsure of, or maybe it's uncomfortable with kind of the direction that you've been taking.
Right. You know, with the book, I'm really lucky that the book has been doing so well, and that I've been able to go to these programming conferences and talk about helping people learn how to program. And I've really gotten nothing but great, wonderful feedback. But if I put out the first book, and I have the second book out already, when I put out the first book, if, you know, the response wasn't as awesome as it was, then it probably really would have dictated a change in what I was working on. Obviously, I wouldn't have been able to put out the second book if that first book didn't do well. So just knowing that people really like what I'm doing with Hello Web App, and that I personally find it extremely fulfilling, makes me just want to work on it more.
Right. And how do you track progress on your goals? Or is it that you open it every day and you look at where you're at and that's kind of your process for it? Or do you have any other mechanism in place?
Yeah, for those big goals, it's kind of just like looking at that and be like, oh, okay, I haven't quite, you know, one of my medium goals is Hello Web App, a success, in parentheses, bestseller, because I wasn't sure if a programming book could really become a bestseller. But in my, you know, Hello Web App, I think, has become a minor success, and I'd love to make it bigger. But then, you know, not sure where that is. There's no concrete sales number where I'd ever say it was completely a success. But for like my small goals, say again, for making my book a success, a small goal. Right now, I'm working on a new website because I've reached my limit with working at Squarespace, which is what my current website is on. So right now, my process is I'm creating a completely new from scratch website, and it has all the analytics and everything I've truly wanted in my website for this book. I'm going to launch that, and I'm going to use those analytics and to figure out how people are using the book and buying the book, and then hopefully make it more of a success that way. So these small goals are kind of course, all supporting these medium goals. And those ones I track actually mostly through a Chrome extension called Momentum. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it has this beautiful image in the background, which is kind of inspiring. And every time I open a new tab, I have this like beautiful, inspiring image. It allows you to say what you're working on the current day, and then also has a to-do list. And so redo a website and then all the little mini things are in this little to-do list that I can see every time I open up a new tab in Chrome. And that also helps keep me on track. I have to really be careful about, I get distracted pretty easily. So knowing that I can be like, oh, bored, and I open up a new tab, about to go to Reddit, and I can see my to-do list, it helps me remember, oh, wait, I really should work on this website, and then continue working towards my goals.
Yeah, that's cool. I have heard of Momentum, and several folks in my office, as well as some colleagues of mine, use it. I don't personally use it, but I am thinking about it. I've just never taken the time to do it. So that's kind of a mechanism for you of, it's like external accountability then, right? It's like something else keeping you accountable to your very short-term goals that would then feed up into your longer term.
Yeah, I definitely have like two versions of myself. I have the one that stays on track, and then the one that gets distracted really easily, loves to spend time on Netflix and Reddit and just waste my days away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this one Tracy has to set up a lot of different, I guess, traps to find, you know, when Lazy Tracy comes out, I have to like fall into these traps that Motivated Tracy has set up to prevent Lazy Tracy from taking over.
Exactly. It's like systems rather than willpower, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any other, I'm just curious, any other traps you've set up for yourself to keep you on track?
I mean, between Momentum with the small goals and then having my daily goals, it's just a Google Doc that I have in my toolbar on Chrome. Those have been pretty good. Oh, actually, a great one. Sometimes, I know I keep bringing up Reddit, but really it is my Achilles heel. I will actually go into my host file and I will 404 it. Mm-hmm. There's days that I just cannot resist it. And I, in my host file, I have a little comment that says, Tracy, stop uncommenting this.
That's awesome.
Because there were times I'm like, no, I really need this day of going onto Reddit. Because I also use it for like recipes and backpacking and stuff.
Right.
But I try to tell myself that no Reddit on the computer, I can only use it on my phone, and that works. But I do admittedly, Lazy Tracy comes in and knows how to uncomment the host file.
For sure.
And it keeps happening. But that's another trap that I've been trying to, I need to go back onto.
Other than Momentum, do you have external accountability, like from a person, like in a mastermind group or your husband, or, you know, I know you don't have a co-founder, but an advisor or someone like that?
Yeah, Andre, my husband, he's really great for that because he also works on his own products. We both have our separate spots in the house where we work together yet apart. And we do help each other keep motivated because, again, he can go downstairs and see I'm on Reddit and he's like, Tracy. And I'm like, oh, fine. So he does help a lot because we both know that we can fall in this trap of not working. I keep thinking about, and I forget which book I read this in, but having an external person. And it wouldn't really work to be my husband, but it's another person who is working on their own projects and have a call with that person, just talk about how things are going. And I know some other product people work on this, and I wish I remembered where I read about this. Where I read it, this person had another advisor that they would talk to on the phone really quickly, and they were just like all business, talking about, all right, have you worked on your goals today? I guess maybe if and why not. And I've thought about doing that, just to have someone externally just come to me and say, hey, Tracy, where are you in terms of what you've been working on? But I haven't formally set up anything like that. And I can see myself getting annoyed with my husband if he did that because he's too close to me.
Sure.
So I have to find someone else.
Sure. Yeah, I'm in a couple of different mastermind groups and we meet once every 2 weeks and we talk about goals and progress and all that stuff. And it helps keep me motivated. But I can imagine doing a daily or a 3 day a week check-in, you know, with a 5 or 10 minute call, like an accountability call almost. I could imagine that being extremely motivating if you found the right person and the right balance and you were both keeping each other on track. It's like a stand-up meeting, right? Like with agile development. I could see there being some value there. Cool. So if you're willing to share, what's a big goal that you have for 2016?
Well, 2015 kind of ended for me. It feels very personally kind of ended on a down note because I got a little burnt out on everything I was working on because September, I was running a Kickstarter campaign for my second book, which went way better than expected. And October, I decided to just work as hard and as fast as possible to do the production of this book because I also do all the design for it and obviously the writing. So I finished up the book in October and I got it to the printer and it came out early December. And because of all the work I did in September and October, I lost my motivation for working on the book, which was frustrating because launches for books, especially, and doing a pre-order campaign, it could have been a really, really awesome thing. And I kind of just let my second book, I fulfilled all the Kickstarter orders, but I didn't really announce it. And I regret this. I knew I needed to take some time for myself. And I don't want to get myself so burnt out that I don't want to work on these books at all. But I kind of just overworked myself. So 2016 is going to be the year of the book for me. Now that I've taken some time off and I've gotten myself motivated again, I really want to work on taking my second book, which is Hello Web App Intermediate Concepts, and bring it to people who I think will need it. Anyone who's worked on a web app and they want to take it to the next level, especially using Python and Django. That's what the book is aimed for. And I haven't done a really good job with promoting it. So that's going to be that. And I'm also thinking on working on a third book, which is, I know I just talked about being burnt out, but this book has just been gnawing at the back of my brain. Basically, it's going to be designed for non-designers. So Hello Web App was programming for non-programmers. Hello Web Design will be designed for non-designers. And I might start working on that in 2016.
Yeah, those are some pretty nice ambitions, getting basically one book launched and another written. That's biting off a lot. I like that.
I do make my books kind of small, which is one of the negative feedbacks I've gotten on Amazon for my first book, was that it was too small. And I was like, well, that's valid. But I was really going for like small and easy, which admittedly makes it a little easier for me to write because it's they're only, I think the first book was 18,000 words and the second book is 26,000. So they're pretty manageable.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like book lengths are shortening. In fact, I heard someone talking about this, that they actually are shortening just with the way that the internet's come to prominence. And now there are 5,000 word blog posts that get a ton of value out and that you may even get more value out of those than a lot of the business books you read that are filled with fluff. And so over time, over specifically the past 15 years, book lengths are coming down. I actually tend to read shorter books anyways, because I feel like if they're short and people like them, then they are, it takes more effort to write a short book. You know, it's there's that old Mark Twain quote where he said, "I would have written a shorter letter, but I ran out of time." Right. You know, he like wrote long. I mean, writing long is actually not hard. It's writing short, but writing, being very succinct and doing it well.
Yes. And keeping your topic to a manageable length. Again, that's the first book. Technically, the first book and second book now that I have the second book out, which I had, it wasn't in my brain when I was writing the first book. They could be connected. They could be tied together into one larger book. But having smaller books, especially if it's a learn to programming book, a small book is so much less intimidating than say a giant like tome that you slam on a desk, be like, learn how to program. This is like, my book was supposed to be this little thing. Like, look how small and easy this is. You could do it too.
Yep. No, I hear you. And so in looking at your goal process, do you see any obvious shortcomings, maybe even non-obvious shortcomings of your whole process of coming up with them and keeping yourself accountable and all that?
I mean, I can give myself a deadline if I really wanted, but I don't usually. And the problem with not having deadlines and not having really good specific goals about when I want things out, when I jump between all the different things that I want to work on, I think that they take too long as a whole to be accomplished. This is specifically with Wedding Lovely, but again, with running the marketing and the design and the development and the sales, is that I shift between everything I want to do too much. I'm like juggling a whole bunch of balls and I have to keep putting balls down. And sometimes I don't finish a task, what I want to work on. Like with sales, I keep bringing it up because it's my thorn in my side. And I had this whole thing where I was going to like double down on sales at the end of 2015. And I was going to double what Wedding Lovely is working on. And I started working on it and I got distracted probably by something in design or with my book or something else. And I never completed the goal. And because I didn't give myself a deadline or a specific number to hit, or I guess I said double, but that was always kind of loosey-goosey. It just made it easy for me to actually not achieve it, but not feel like I guess there was no punishment involved with not achieving what I was trying to work on. So that's the downside, is I can flip between too many ideas and too many goals because I have so many and I drop the ball on a lot of them a lot.
Right. So it sounds like you have a lot of goals. And so it's hard to figure out which ones to focus on. And then some of them might not be specific enough. So you don't know if you've reached them or not.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a much better way of putting it.
No. It's just pulling that out. So you've mentioned that 2015 ended on a down note. And I was going to ask you, have you recently failed to achieve a goal and what broke down? But it sounds like that would probably be maybe a recent failure of note.
Yeah. My recent non-launch.
Yeah. So what broke down with that?
It is my fault. I got burnt out and I decided to take this trip to Costa Rica. It was wonderful and I'm really glad I did it and it really refreshed me. And the launch of the book was coming in the middle of this trip and I planned it so I'd go to Costa Rica and I had a place that had great Wi-Fi and that I could spend my mornings learning how to surf, which has been a very, very long goal of mine. And I could spend the afternoon working on this launch. And I got down there and I just didn't do anything. I just learned how to surf. And I took time for myself and couldn't bring myself to work on this launch. And that's why I just let it go. So specifically what broke down was just complete motivation. I distracted myself by putting myself in a gorgeous location where all I wanted to do was spend a time outside in the ocean and the rainforest. So I put myself in a place where I couldn't achieve my goal, even though I was kind of hoping to do so. But it was also kind of necessary for my brain space to take a break after the previous few months and how hectic they had been.
Yeah, it's a tough balance. I think one thing that you probably learned from that is if you do want to achieve a goal and you have kind of a short time frame for it, you're trying to do something in the course of a few weeks, that going to a gorgeous place is not going to work for you. And maybe, you know, you probably didn't know that before then.
Yeah, and I sometimes have too much faith in my abilities, I guess. I'm like, yeah, I totally could do that. And I have to understand that sometimes I can break down and not achieve things that I think I totally could have. And I think I could have if I just had the motivation, but I lost that motivation. I didn't realize I was going to do that when I was there.
Yeah, I think the other thing that strikes me is that if you had several months of kind of fighting through, whether it was burnout or just frustration or just feeling like you're working too much or you've kind of sapped yourself from energy, it's a tough balance of like taking some time off and being deliberate about not working and recharging yourself versus trying to push it further, because you never know how far you can push it before you really put yourself over the edge in terms of burning yourself out for real, you know, where you need to take months off.
I have traveled before and I've been able to, in the past, successfully meld travel with work, because my husband and I, every couple years or so, will rent the place we live in and live in Europe for a while and rent apartments over there. So it's actually this last summer I spent time in Croatia and Hungary. And I mean, I think the presence of my husband, who again also works on his own projects, was motivating, because we can go to Croatia and we'll spend half a day working inside, then go take a walk and do our tourist thing. We're there for many weeks. And so while we're traveling this summer, I was actually really successful and working and being motivated, but didn't realize that, you know, like you said, the combination of being, of doing too much work during September and October just kind of all landed on my head during this trip. And then I also didn't have this motivating force in my husband. So it all accumulated in this, like, this stasis, not being able to get anything done other than healing my brain, I guess.
So Tracy, thanks so much for joining me today to talk about goals. If folks want to keep up with you online, where's the best place for them to do that?
I love Twitter and I love interacting with people on Twitter. So I'm Lime Daring on Twitter and I'd love to chat with anyone.
Sounds great. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.